the Bucks County Justice Center, I am Marion Callahan, multimedia journalist for Gannett Papers, The Intelligencer, Bucks County Courier Times, and the Burlington County Times. And joining me here today is Gary Bruno, a sheriff's deputy who I've crossed paths with many times in my job covering the suburbs of Philadelphia. And though I've seen him in court and at crime scenes, it is his role as a part-time Uber driver that is the topic of today's podcast. Today, Gary is going to talk with us about his adventures as an Uber driver, how he got started, and what keeps him going, despite the not-so-pleasant passengers who sometimes leave more than a tip in the back of his car. We'll talk about Uber safety and the best and worst parts about being an Uber driver, and even touch upon some inspiring and heartwarming stories that stemmed from a ride in a snowstorm one winter. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure. So let's just dive in. Gary, why did you choose to become an Uber driver?
I don't even know if it was so much of a choice. My son, Jake, was driving in New Jersey a few years ago, and he kept bugging me to refer me. Uber has driver referrals, and he's paid for people that he refers. And it's constantly changing. At the time, they were offering $300 once the new driver did 30 trips. So this went on for a few months, and I finally gave in and said, fine, I'll do it. I'll do 30 trips. I'm going to stop. You'll make your $300. So I did, and I got to 30, and I was having so much fun, I just kept on going. And now I've been doing it for 3.5 years and have over 3,200 rides, and he's since stopped.
And in those 3,200 rides, you've had some very interesting experiences.
Very interesting.
And before we go into some of those experiences, I wanted to just kind of ask just some basic questions that many people might not know about an Uber driver, or some questions that might shed light on being behind the wheel. First, mm-hmm. if you could describe the ideal passenger, what would he or she be like?
I would say, first of all, to be on time. I can't tell you how many times I pull up and people are not ready, and I'll wait for 5 minutes, but that's a long time when people know when to expect you. As soon as you accept the trip, it tells how long you are away from them, and it follows you all the way to the pickup. So they should know when you pull up, and they're notified when you pull up. But other than that, other than being someone who's ready to go, I like when a rider's in a good mood, and they like to talk. Maybe not too much, but I like conversation. And when they say something along the way that just cracks me up and gives me a funny story to tell.
Great. Okay.
Of course, and tips are.
I was just going to get to tips.
Very much appreciated.
Okay. So, what is a good tip, for an Uber driver? And if I do leave a good tip, would that mean I would, be sought after as a client? I mean, what, tell me a little bit about the whole tipping process.
Sure.
I know
$50 is perfect.
Yeah.
No, I mean, people
are you hiring?
Leave a few dollars, $2-3, sometimes $5. There's been some who've actually given me $20. It's very rare. But as far as being a sought after passenger, we can't pick and choose. When I'm notified that there's a ride waiting, it just gives me the approximate time that I'll be on the trip. So I don't know who they are until I accept it. And then once I accept it, I see a first name only.
Gotcha. And so tips are, you say, a good tip is $5, but is that
sure.
dependent upon, or is that a percentage of the whole ride, or how does that work?
It really varies. Some people tip cash, some people tip on the app, and it depends. I've had $10 trips for $10 tips for a $3-4 ride. And I've had $1 tips for a $50 ride. It really varies.
Gotcha. Okay. And so now the rating. I saw a recent movie about mm-hmm. how Uber ratings are so important. And I can't even remember the name of the silly movie, but talk to me about how important the rating is.
To me, it's huge. And I could probably go on for the next 20 minutes talking about ratings alone. But it's very important to me. I take a lot of pride in, it's like a review. I mean, you want a good review on your job, and I strive for 5 stars all the time. As recently as a few weeks ago, I was at 4.99, and that's a rating of 1 to 5, and that's an average of your last 500 trips. So obviously the bulk of those were 5-star ratings, but and now suddenly in a few weeks, I'm down to 4.97. because somebody gave me a one.
Ruh-roh.
And yeah, I had no idea why. There was nothing that came to mind that was I would have offended anybody or anything. And best I can figure is maybe they were brand new and they thought one was the best. Or maybe they were just so intoxicated that they didn't know what they were doing.
And I hear that happens quite a lot.
But it is very important.
Okay. And so what should people know before becoming an Uber driver? I just wanted to kind of clear up any misconceptions about, you know, the plush life of a driver. But what should people first know before doing this?
They should know that it's a job. I mean, it's their business, really. And they should, I mean, I can't tell you how many times passengers tell me, they remark on how clean my car is, and they tell me about cars that they've been in. And it's amazing that somebody would basically start a business with a filthy office. This is your office. This is, you're spending all your time in your car. And to have it filthy, and, you know, people have told me about, you know, garbage in the back seat and fast food bags on the floor. And it's amazing that people would do that. So you have to have a clean car.
So what you're trying to say is I shouldn't become an Uber driver. How do passengers react when you tell them that you're a sheriff's deputy?
Usually shocked, but in a good way. I mean, a lot of them have said, well, great, now I feel safe.
Do your two professions ever merge?
Oh, sure, sure.
Can you tell us about that?
They merged in quite a few ways. I think the one way that it merged the most was I was driving this guy. I was in Montgomery County, and there was a car next to us at a red light. It turned green. He took off and cut me off as it merged down to one lane, and he was then swerving all over the place. Even went up a curb, down the curb, and in that conversation with the rider, I had previously mentioned that I was a sheriff, and we were remarking at how drunk he was, and I felt like I had to do something. And he said, "If you want to follow him," he said, "go for it." He said, "Just stop my trip, so I'm not paying for it." So I ended the trip, and we followed, and I called 911. And it was really helpful to have this passenger who knew the area, because I was able to relay to the radio room what street we were coming up on before I could actually see the sign. He knew, he could identify it. But this car was clipping other cars, knocking off side view mirrors, and finally the police tracked us down as we were following and pulled him over, and we sat there and watched the field sobriety test, and he failed pretty miserably.
Wow. So, well, you got a safety hazard off the road.
Right.
And so any other ways in which your profession and work have sort of merged?
They merge in conversation. It's amazing the things that people will say to their Uber driver, not knowing who they are. I can't tell you how many times people have wanted to smoke pot with me. And I have a number of different answers, but, you know, I usually say something like, well, no, I can't. I don't do that. I get drug tested on my full-time job. And that inevitably leads to, well, what's your full-time job? And I say, I'm a deputy sheriff.
Oh, no.
And there's quite a bit of embarrassment. And one guy even said, well, you can just drop me off at the corner here.
Right, I'll be leaving now.
And I joked. I said, yeah, no problem. I have your address. I know where you live. But I don't mix the two jobs. It's not good for ratings.
Right. And so, well, there are probably some dilemmas that are more moral, I should say, than legal.
Yes.
And what do you do about that? I mean, give me an example of a kind of a moral dilemma that you've been in or that, you know, that maybe you've picked up.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a counselor. There was one situation where this woman, again, not knowing who her Uber driver is, she confessed that she's on her way to cheat on her boyfriend. And she's going on and on about how much she loves him and she's going to marry him, but she just needs to do this. And I don't like cheaters. So I spent the rest of the trip trying to talk her out of it, saying, you know, I'll just drive you home. You know, don't do that. But what was very awkward was as she went on and on about her boyfriend and I was asking her questions, I realized that I knew him. I give him quite a few Uber trips. And then it was a real dilemma. Do I tell him? Do I not tell him? I eventually decided to stay out of it.
Gotcha. And I understand, like, you're sometimes on the local community Facebook site. And do they give you some good feedback when you face some of these dilemmas?
Which my friends?
Yeah.
They actually, that's the advice I got from my friends. I threw it out there to them and said, "What would you do?" And one person agreed with me that I wanted to tell them, and one person thought that was a good idea. By far, everybody else said, "No, don't do it.
Stay out of it." Huh?
I took their advice.
That's tough. And so, let's move on to safety. I know from reading the headlines and like hearing and seeing the news that the job can get scary from both perspectives, from the driver and the passenger. And now on you know, in the book that you've put together based on your experiences, you mentioned a couple of scary scenarios. Tell us about it.
Yeah, one was, and generally it's not that scary. It's pretty safe. I mean, most people know that Uber drivers they get paid through the app. So we're not carrying around a lot of cash. I don't really get concerned about robbery, but you never know if somebody doesn't really understand and thinks you're carrying money. And I had one situation where I got called to pick up this guy. It turned out to be two guys. All you really know in the beginning is the one name. And the app was directing me to a warehouse parking lot, and there was a line of trees between the parking lot and houses. So I assumed that maybe they were at the houses, but for whatever reason, I was picking them up in the lot. Well, I got there and sat for a while, and it was dark, and suddenly these two guys dressed in all black come out from the trees, and it was winter, it was very cold, and they were wearing these half masks, like the skeleton masks.
Wow, yeah.
And that was a little concerning, and then one of them came to the driver's side window, the other one to the passenger side window, and stood there. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. I mean, I've had training at being a deputy sheriff, and I'm ready for whatever happens. So I rolled down the window a little bit, and I said, "Did you call for an Uber? Are you John?" He said, "Yeah, how does this work?" He said, "I've never taken an Uber before." So they were just confused. And I mean, they got in. It was very funny because the entire trip, they kept those masks on. They were coming from a party. They were they told me they were brewers, local brewers.
Masked brewers,
yeah. Right? Yeah. But very nice guys. It was just start out awkwardly.
Right. And so, well, what are some safety strategies that will, number one, keep you safe? And then what are some strategies that you suggest that others or passengers use to keep them safe?
Yeah. What keeps me safe, I can't say. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Naturally.
No. My safety is really just my head and my words. I mean, I just feel very confident that I can talk in any situation and ease any situation. And I'm never really concerned for my safety. But from a passenger standpoint, I think they really need to be a little safer. I mean, as far as the safety I provide them is just being a good driver. But I can't tell you, even though you see stories in the news, how many times people will get in my car and it's the wrong, I'm not their driver. And they'll just hop right in. They won't ask what my name is. They won't ask who I'm picking up. And it takes my questioning to determine that, yeah, they're not the person that I'm picking up.
Gotcha. And you share freely your advice. I recall reading that a couple of teenagers or some youths got into the car.
Right.
Making that mistake,
sure.
You know, that puts them at risk. And on the other hand, you mentioned some people who did the right thing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, there was one young kid, teen. I would say maybe 15 years old. And when I got the ride, it was the ride request. It was from a female's name. And the woman called me and said, "You're going to be picking up my son." And she said, you know, he's 15, but I ordered this for him. And she just wanted to make sure that she questioned me a little bit and to get to know who I was. And I tried to put her at ease. But this kid came out to the car, went to the back of the car, and I saw him with his phone. And then he hops in. He asked my name and asked who I was picking up. He did all the right things. I said, "Did you just take a picture of my license plate?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "My mom makes me do that and send it to her." I said, "Well, tell her she's a great mom." And actually, they shouldn't be passengers. Uber's policy is that you have to be 18 to ride without an adult. But knowing myself, knowing who I am, knowing what I do for a living, I drive them. I feel they're safer with me than if I turn it down, they're going to get a ride from someone.
Right.
And I don't know who that person might be, so I'd rather just get them home safely.
Gotcha. All right, then. And driving in Bucks County, you've encountered people with all sorts of life challenges. And so I recall when our paths first crossed, you encountered a passenger with a challenge in trying to get to drug treatment during a snowstorm. And that prompted the first story that I wrote about you.
That's right.
So tell me a little bit about how that one passenger changed your perspective and you know, kind of triggered a call to action, not just by you, but the community too.
Yeah, and I'll try to keep it short because it was a long story, which you covered. I appreciate that you covered in your story. But it was a snow day here at the county, but we weren't advised of that until we arrived here. So I was wide awake, and I figured, well, I'm up. I might as well Uber a little bit. And he was the very first ride, and he admitted to me that he was on his way to drug treatment. And amazingly, the very next person I picked up was a female who was also going to drug treatment. And it just gave me the idea that I wanted to help. So my next day off, President's Day, I decided I'll just give free rides to people going to drug treatment, you know, people who are serious about their overcoming addiction. And I put it on Facebook and got a few people lined up. I ended up giving 8 rides that day. But there are 3 of them, the one that you mentioned in the story and another girl. The 2 of them I became Facebook friends with. And I'll touch base with them periodically. If they're not posting for a while, I'll send them a message asking how they're doing. And they're both doing great. They just sometimes take a little bit of time off from Facebook, I guess. The 3rd one I've picked up a few other times, and she remembers and really appreciates it. But they've all commented about how much it meant to them. And I like to think that it played a part in their recovery, that they're all still clean, and this is going back to February. You know, of course, they're taught that once they're an addict, they're always an addict. So you never really say, I'm done. But I really believe they are. And if I played a small part in that's great.
And you definitely, I guess that generosity was contagious, because I know that Doylestown Tech and that a few other businesses wanted to join in with the effort.
Yeah, when I mentioned it on Facebook, someone suggested starting a GoFundMe page so that people could donate. So obviously with a full-time job, I can't always provide these rides. So people started donating to the GoFundMe page, and I buy $10 Uber gift cards, which I'm still doing to this day. I just got a $1,000 donation from the Caitlin Murphy Foundation to buy 100 more cards, and they've started arriving in the mail, so it's been great.
Right. Yeah, I've written about the Caitlin Murphy Foundation, and they provide just such a great network of support.
Yes.
It's encouraging to hear that they're tackling the challenge of transportation.
Yep.
that many people are having. And so, well, let's segue back to the Uber driver perspective, because I know we don't have that much time left. But how has being an Uber driver connected you to the community? And what has come out of this? And I feel free to share why you wanted to record some of your stories as well.
Sure.
In Tales from an Uber Driver, which recently came out. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yep, which I call TFUD, T-F-U-D, Tales from an Uber Driver. The very first story that struck me as funny, I posted on Facebook, and I don't know what made me do it, but I put TFUD before the story. And I was thinking, you know, as I put these on, I might want to look back at them one day, and this way I could go to my Facebook page and type in TFUD, and it would pull up all my stories, all my Uber stories. And I crack a lot of my friends up with the stories, and you know, like anything, when somebody says, oh, you should write a book, and more people were saying, you should write a book. So I decided I'd do it. And I put in TFUD in Facebook, pulled up all my stories, and organized them into chapters the best I could, and put it out there.
Gotcha. But it's not something that we're going to see on the shelves of libraries in elementary schools.
No, there's definitely some adult content in there. I thought about cleaning it up, and then I said, no, you know, I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Right.
They used some pretty foul language, and there was one situation where I'm ashamed to say that I used some myself when a girl vomited in my car.
Oh, God. So how often does that happen, by the way?
It's been 3 times in 3.5 years.
That's actually not bad.
It's not too bad.
Like the percentage, well, I mean, what percentage of people come into your cars intoxicated?
Most. Most of my driving I do on Friday and Saturday nights and picking up the bar crowds. I'll get out during the week once in a while when I can. I love it. I would drive every night if I could, but that's not good for family life.
Right. And clearly the drawbacks, you know, the getting sick in the car, but obviously the perks, they're choosing the Uber rather than getting in their own vehicles.
Right. And when I first started this out, my wife used to laugh because I would not give up a Friday or Saturday night driving. She wanted to do things. And I said, no. And my line to her was, I have a responsibility to the responsible people of Bucks County. But I really did. There was part of me that felt like if I'm not out there driving, that's one more person who may drive drunk. And I just took it as though it's a service I'm providing and I need to be out there.
Well, great. And now how can people get your book?
It's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you go to Amazon.com, just type in TFUD. And it should come right up.
Gary Bruno. Okay, well, our time is running out, but I wanted to thank you for sharing your stories and your inside view of Uber life in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And I do look forward to crossing paths with you again. Hopefully not another local shooting. But I was glad that everyone escaped from that last incident, injury free. And if any of our listeners have a story or a slice of suburbia they want to share with our listeners, reach out to me at Marian Callahan. That's MCALLAHAN at theintel, theintell.com. Or you can always reach out to me on Facebook at Marian Reports. And that's MarionReports. Thank you, Gary Bruno, for joining us and sharing your perspective.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure having you. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in.